Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Mr. Wonderful, as Rich Galen calls me often. Rich is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the guy who publishes the thrice-weekly cyber column that you know and you love is Mullings.com, and he's our good friend. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, it was nice to see you last night.
Yeah, it was fun. You did a great job as MC of the event last night.
Thank you. That's very kind.
The crowd got rowdier and rowdier as the week went by.
Well, you know, it's part of what, I mean, but that's a good sign. That means the thing's working. I mean, if people come to these, I know you've explained it to your audience, but if people come to these things to meet each other and start networking and make new contacts, then that's exactly what you want to have happen as you move through a 2 or 3 day event. You want people to feel comfortable with each other and build relationships that are going to continue after they leave a place like Washington, D.C. So I see that as a good sign.
Well, and the thing is, Rich, that...
Sorry, I happened to walk outside and a plane just took off. I'll come back.
I was going to say, yeah, thanks for the ambiance there, Rich. We always know we can count on you. But the thing is that you're exactly right. I mean, I tell people that the absolute best networking event I go to all year long is when I come to make my annual pilgrimage to Washington for Small Business Week. And you're right. See, I know I actually have been doing this long enough. This is my eighth year. I've been doing this long enough. I can pretty much tell you the percentage of the 1,200 people, let's say, who were there last night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that 900 of them had never met anybody else in that room prior to the night before.
I'm sure that's right.
And I mean, prior to this week. And
right.
and so, folks, what Rich is talking about and this building of the excitement and the rowdiness that happened, it's because these guys are walking down the aisles and as they're going to their tables as Rich is trying to get them to be quiet or whatever, and they're talking, and as much as they're nice people, they're excited about being there. And having been there all week long and having done my own MC thing on Wednesday night, I was afraid by the time last night got here that you wouldn't have anybody listening to you, but
there'd
you're
be a food fight.
But exactly, but of course you have your way with people, and they did listen to you to some degree.
Well, here's what you have to do. I mean, I do a lot of this emceeing thing, and one of the things you learn is to not, I mean, it's like being a lounge act performer. You just got to let the audience do what the audience does, and you do your job. So if you're, if you're singing at the Holiday Inn and the crowd's, jawing and chatting and laughing or whatever, you just got to do your act. And those who want to listen, listen. Those who don't, don't. But wait, the worst thing you can do is, other than that one time when I want them to be quiet to celebrate the to give thanks to our troops overseas. But other than that, you just got to let them do what they do, because again, what you want people to do is feel comfortable, have a good time, be talking to each other. And by the third night, it's like a gigantic bar mitzvah for most of these folks. They just want they want to see somebody they saw on Tuesday.
Well, Rich, it finally occurred to me after Wednesday night. I noticed that nobody, including me, were getting any kind of applause, when anybody was introduced or whatever, and I couldn't figure out. I said, "Now this crowd's usually a little better than that," but it was my first time to really do one where they were standing. This was a reception kind of a thing, and then afterwards I realized, wait a minute,
you don't have any
clap if you got a drink in one hand and a plate in the other hand.
Yeah, there's
so
a new.
What I should have said, Rich, I should have said, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our next guest and stamp your feet, ovation, I guess we could call it.
Actually, some clever designer has designed plates specifically for those kinds of events. It's a kind of an oval plate, and in one corner there's a cutout where you can put your glass or your cup.
Right.
So you can actually stand. You still can't clap unless you hit yourself in the head.
What we should do is they should come with a little training form that says just turn to the next person and clap their other hand. See. Rich, I've made an announcement.
Is anybody still listening to us, you think?
I made an announcement this morning. I've decided I'm running for president in 2008.
Oh, good.
Yeah, on the small business ticket.
I'm for you.
And here's my platform. It's very simple. I want to see if you can help me out. My platform is going to be very simple. One thing, when I'm president, every member of Congress and every head of every department or bureau in the government has to have breakfast with a small business owner once a week.
That's a good
platform. Don't you think that could get me elected?
Yeah. That'd be great. I mean, the problem now is that they have breakfast with some big business owner once a week.
That's right. And I'm not saying we would change the world, but I do think it would make a difference. And because that beltway is a pretty compelling, it has pretty strong gravity, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, the people that won those state awards last night, each state had one small business person that was honored
right.
last night.
Hold on.
These are people that really are building America.
Hold that thought. I'm going to let you tell us about those people right after these messages. It's 20 till. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with our good friend Rich Gilley. We're going to talk about some important stuff in just a few minutes. We're back. It's 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And I encourage you to subscribe to Rich's newsletter. It's a fun column. It comes three times a week. And I haven't made my disclosure. We haven't made the disclosure yet, Rich. Rich is of the Republican persuasion in the interest of full disclosure. And if you're a Republican, you'll love it. And if you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. So give us the website, Rich.
www.mullings.com.
And if you're a mugwump, you never know how it's going to hit you. So, Rich, what's new in the world of politics?
Well, of course, the president held a press conference last night. He's sort of been in the slump here. His poll numbers are down. Social Security effort was lagging. The House and the Senate, both led by Republicans, are sort of feuding with everybody. And so there's just a general discomfort level here in Washington in terms of the way things are going. I talked to a reporter yesterday, or I guess the day before, yesterday afternoon, before the press conference, and I said, look, in any long-term effort, whether it's a business or the baseball season, you get into periods where things just don't go as well as you want. And the secret to success is to fight your way through it and get out the other side. If your batting stance is good and, you know, you're just not seeing the ball well, sooner or later the hits will start falling. If you're in business, sooner or later the sales will start coming in. And if you're in politics, sooner or later things will start going your way again. But what I said was if you're going to have a slump in politics, you want to have it in April of the off year.
Right.
Because elections ain't until November of the on year. Of next.
Right.
So I think...
His timing is good, is what you're saying.
Yeah, if you're going to have one of these things, this is the right time to have it, exactly. And the economy is, you know, the economy is sort of slumping. I think that these gas prices are beginning to tell.
Yep.
I mean, you know, anybody who's got to do anything for business that includes fuel, it's feeling the pinch. I mean, I've got the gasoline has gotten high. I have, a little 50cc motor scooter. I live about 8 miles out of the District of Columbia, down in Alexandria, Virginia. And I have started actually using my motor scooter to go to work, A, because it's fun, but B, because it costs $50 to fill up my Land Rover.
And you look so cute in your little...
I really do. I look so charming. Motorcycle riders try to run me over.
Right. Well, at first they think it's a mosquito coming at them, right?
But on the other side of the ledger, to finish that conversation briefly, the fact is that the Republican-controlled House and Senate are pitching a shutout. I mean, the Democrats, although they have tried to stop some things, haven't really stopped anything. We've gotten bankruptcy reform. We're getting tort reform. The health care issue is going the Republicans' way. So it looks like the death tax business will be repealed.
Congressman Cox, Christopher Cox of California, he basically promised that last night, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's, you know, that's his pet issue other than Homeland Security. So I think he's probably counted the noses. My suspicion is that John Bolton will be confirmed as ambassador to the UN. So I mean, I think some of it is just people are just weary a little bit. This is kind of taking a breath 6 months after the elections. People are just tired of thinking about it. On the other hand, the White House and the Republicans in the House and Senate have not done a terrific job in terms of controlling the message and sort of keeping people on an upbeat message.
What kind of a... They haven't really done as good a job on the Social Security issue as they could have, it seems to me. I mean, I'm not sure that they're being as effective as they could have been. What do you think?
Well, it's very complicated, and I think last night, I think this is just about the 100-day mark of the second term. And in the first term of every presidency, the 100-day mark is a big, huge benchmark. They race to get things done by the 100-day mark so they can hold a press conference and list all the accomplishments they got done. Second term, it comes and goes, and either you pay attention or you don't. And the thing about Social Security is that it didn't have to get done in the first 100 days. It doesn't have to get done in the first 365 days. But what the president has done in this, Jim, is that he has put it on the national agenda so that people will actually discuss what ought to happen to it. He may or may not get private accounts as a piece of it, but something is going to happen as opposed to letting Social Security just drift along and then 3 years before it's going to go bankrupt, everybody start panicking and, running around like we always do here in Washington,
right,
with our hair on fire. So I think, again, I don't think they've sold they haven't sold either the concept or the process as well as I wish they would have. But I think it's probably not far off from where they want it to be.
Rich, Governor Pete DuPont from Delaware, former governor of Delaware, former congressman, former presidential candidate, is a big supporter of privatizing Social Security.
Right.
And he said on this show a couple of 3 weeks ago, he gave me a reason that I hadn't thought about before. I didn't know the numbers that I think should be the lead talking point, and that is this. Since Social Security has been in alive, government has basically absconded $11 trillion of those funds, and I believe that's the number. It was a double-digit number, $1 trillion of those funds, and spent it, and they now owe the Social Security that money. And he said over the next 9 years, if left unchecked, they will spend $2 trillion of Social Security's money. Now, if somehow privatizing will take some of that money away from them to keep them from spending it and leaving a little worthless IOU, then to me that's a good reason to vote for privatizing Social Security or for reform of some kind.
Well, and also the suspicion is that overall you'll get a higher return than the 1.1% or whatever
exactly.
You get if government gets from the money.
Or if you're a black male, less than 0%.
Right.
Stand by, we're going to take a quick break, 10 till. Right back with our good friend Rich Galen. He's the publisher of Mulling.com. I'm nationwide. Back to 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. And Rich, give us your website again, please.
It's www.mullings.com.
And folks, I encourage you to check it out. It's an outstanding publication. It comes thrice a week. Rich, what about the energy bill that the president's pushing these days?
Well, I think what you've got to Tom Friedman's got a really kind of fascinating new book out about the whole energy situation. And his, I'm not sure if I agree with all of it, but the general thesis is that what President Bush needs to do is do for energy what President Kennedy did for space travel, which is to say, by some date certain, we're going to become energy independent. And he's not arguing for wind power or solar power or any other kind of particular power, but just arguing for the fact that American foreign policy is so horribly dependent on the production and importation of foreign oil that so is our economy, that at some point, to protect ourselves, we need to do something about it. And I think this is the first step down that road. Because energy is such, as we talked about earlier, such a huge part of almost every business. I mean, you specifically have to travel or your goods have to be delivered to you.
It's the oxygen of the marketplace, Rich. And the thing is that the president, in his speech to the SBA on Wednesday, which he did an outstanding job, by the way, in that speech, he talked about all the different kinds of energy that need to be looked into, and that is being looked into, like hydrogen, for example.
Well, you know, that's probably the closest we've got is to begin to move to a hydrogen, especially with automobiles. And when you think about cars, and I think we may have talked about this previously, when you think about the automobile, that although it's much more efficient and it's the notion of having four rubber tires on asphalt highways being powered by petroleum after, 130 years, that, you know, look at the difference between air travel and automobile travel. There's probably something wrong somewhere that we haven't been able to develop a truly alternative kind of fuel for, you know, basic personal transportation. And that in and of itself would make a huge difference. On the other hand, I'm not going to give up my car. So, you know, you better give up yours because I'm
right. Right. Absolutely. Well, I was pretty impressed that the president came to the SBA's Small Business Week and basically made a policy speech. He didn't just drop by and drop a few, you know, homilies on us. He made a policy speech there, didn't he?
Well, because it's such a, you know, the thing about small business owners is that they talk to everybody.
Right.
I mean, you go to any town in this country or any small city in this country, at 10 or 10:30 in the town square cafe, the principal small business owners are sitting around solving the problems of the day.
They're centers of influence with their employees.
You bet. And if you want, that's right. If you want to start people chatting about what your plans are, having 1,200 or 1,500 small business owners in front of you is a pretty good way to do it.
Absolutely. Rich, what are some other things? What's there's been a lot more attacks in Iraq lately. Is this just the last ditch effort by these guys? And who are these people who are doing this?
Well, you know, that's one of those questions, Jim, that we can't answer until we get out the other side, and then we'll know the answer to whether it was the last gasp or a resurgence. But, I mean, I hope it's the last gasp. I think the timing is tied to the fact that the government is actually beginning to form itself. And by the way, we had to kind of whack them in the back of the head a little bit to get them to move forward on that. But that's sort of the Arab way. But the insurgency is not nearly as well formed as it was before. But, you know, you can do a lot of damage with one bomb. I mean, God forbid somebody would set one off in the United States, you know, along a crowded interstate highway during rush hour. You can do a lot of damage, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the country is falling apart.
Well, you know the Iraqis pretty well. You spent 6 months of your life over there a year or so ago. In fact, isn't today the anniversary of your return?
I said last night it was Sunday, but actually Monday. I looked, it was May 2nd.
Okay, so it's almost the anniversary. And folks, when I tell you that Rich Galen is a great American, you can believe me on that. Rich, you know the Iraqis pretty well. Do you think that they've been their steel is being hardened by this? We've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, absolutely, and when you look at the fact that a lot of these insurgents are being arrested, although after the fact, by Iraqi forces,
right.
That means that the Iraqi people are beginning to tell their security folks where the bad guys are hiding, which they wouldn't do when we were in control.
And Rich,
they were afraid.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no ACLU yet in Iraq. You get arrested by Iraqi security forces, woe be to you, I would imagine.
and as far as I'm concerned, God bless them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't believe they're going to be reading the Miranda rights to them over there in the Iraqi. Thank you, Rich. Godspeed, sir.
Be well,
see
my
next
friend.
Time. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back for the next hour. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.